May 19th, 1982, Long Beach, California. Saul Alexander, interviewed by Kay Beagle.
So that's way back. I knew Felix Mao very well from a standpoint of his operations that we had on Signal Hill. We built pretty well there and had some production. We also had a little supply company on Salida, south of Wall Street, on the east side. He and his son, Felix Mellon Jr. And I was very friendly with him and did business with him, purchased the oil, asking those valves, and he was an old timer. I think he had been overseas in Burma or somewhere, foreign production. And, but he was also very close mouth on things. He didn't volunteer very much information other than the business you had at hand with him. But I know that he did bring a suit. And, I never remembered what the subject matter and the basis of the suit was. You may have the right information there. He brought the suit, I think, to prevent them from doing Upland's work with the money, wasn't it? That would sound logical. They did wind up from the state over. Just having to do that. They were restricted to harbor and former properties.
Yeah, but you see, they also lost a substantial portion of that.
Oh, they lost most of it. They only wound up with 15%. The state got the balance.
Yeah.
And their expenditures were restricted, that we know, to beach funnel and harbor. That's the name that really financed a real modern harbor down there. It was productive of something. I don't know. I shouldn't make this remark, but I don't believe that the time that that the city should have lost that interest to the state.
How could they have prevented it?
By more competent legal counsel. At the time, just my personal opinion, and I'm not qualified to really comment on legal matters and the procedures that they could have taken, but I don't believe the city itself at least had the competence. And the attorney's office, city attorney's office at the time, that they should have had to combat the state on that thing. I think they unduly lost that. Personal opinion on me has no basis of.
I'm not sure how they lost it yet. I mean, that's something I still have to figure out how they could have done that.
You know how they could have prevented it?
No, I mean, how they could have not sought more than a legal counsel. The question, though, is, do you have any idea how Mellon got involved in it?
Mellon?
Yeah.
He was a very much an, like Jerry Kimmel, an individualist. His ideas about how things should be done or not done on almost any matter. And I think it was just a personal effort on his part to. He might have been, I should say this with reservation, he might have been also involved prior to that in trying to be a part of the operation with the city. I can't, this is the mind's eye. Vague remembrance, and being a part of that, because they eventually did have a few minor partners in it, you know. There were, who was in that? I shouldn't comment on that, because it's too vague now in my memory. That involved LBOD or the city operation itself, but there were two or three small independents that, for I think appearance sake, were allowed into the deal to the extent of about 2% each. I think Apex was one of them. And maybe the Tremel Company. There were two or three that were allowed to come in, and that might have been LBOD or the city. I forget now which one of it was, but it was for the purpose of not making it look like a big company monopoly. That must have been LBOD. And I believe it was Apex and maybe the Tremel Company or someone else about a 2% interest. More logically, it was the LBOD, the original deal.
Who was Apex?
Who were Apex?
Yeah.
The other company that came on the hill in the early days and quite successfully produced quite a bit of oil, particularly in the area of northeast corner of Orange and Willow there. Some terrific wells, good production there. The stock company, some people out of Kansas, I believe. And when I became closer to it, it was then in the hands of ownership of substantially two persons. One was Johnny Jackson, that I knew very well. He used to be with the Mover Gasoline Company. He was a mover leader. And Wilbur Harrison, who had some industrial interests in Kansas and later also got involved in the fair. They kind of wound up in the later years in the 40s, I believe, early middle 40s, in ownership of Apex. They were good operators, and when I was sent to all the favorite deals, those wells up in Arvin. They were satisfied with the relationship. Wilbur Harrison is in Kansas now. I think he's still in the Arbutus. There are a considerable number of shallow wells back there successfully. Johnny Jackson, I think, is still around somewhere. I don't know where.
And who
is
buying the other company? Tremel? Huh? What about the other company you said that was involved with LBOD?
I think it was Tremel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they were the only ones. Those are the only ones I remember. So I knew they had an interest.
Who owned that
company? Tremel?
Yeah.
The Prince family. They still own it. Elders Crims is still active. His son David, I think, is more active now. And one of the Crims, I think, friend died. I knew them in Poly High. I knew their father, too. When I first got in the oil patch, working around, their father was the one that started the company. I think he was, I think he was Ernie Groome Sr., and he was exploration. This one was rather successful, and then his son succeeded to the business. And those days it was nearly all Signal Hill, but later years the Creams got involved in Wilmington, the Long Beach sector of the Wilmington field. And they've been rather successful up north too, and gas and up in Northern California.
Another thing that we talked about last year, I guess, was Newt Bass, who you said promoted the smallest, drilled a well on the smallest lease in the world.
Yes.
Could you tell about that?
Well, yes. It was right on top of Signal Hill that we drove over that day. Didn't I show you the spot? Right on the top there was a tri-cornered piece there, right in the middle of the street there, that was apparently private property, like the strip that Sherman Club has. And so he was about that time, Newt Bass and what was his other partners there? I don't recall. It was Bass, Goodnight, and someone else. It was a someone else that went with him on promoting Apple Valley. And he built that nice off 136 in Long Beach Boulevard, southwest corner. He was promoting Apple Valley, and he drilled this well. It was a shallow one, to one of the shallow zones, which was quite shallow on that part of Signal Hill. It's close to the top of the structure, and didn't cost that much to drill it. And so he drilled a well, even though it turned out to be a very small, about 10-barrel well, which wasn't very much in those days, it's quite well. But he did it more for public relations and advertising, I believe, because he had Apple Valley signs all over the thing, advertising Apple Valley. And it was a small well. I remember buying oil, and it was about a 10-barrel well, which was about, those days were about, and it's been over $15-$20 a day gross of advertising. The gross income, it couldn't have been very profitable, but it meant more came from a publicity standpoint, I'm sure.
Things
like that with their oil wells, or was it used in oil wells to start some other
kind of business?
I can't, at this moment, recall.
I can remember driving down Atlantic and seeing that Apple Valley place. And
wondering
what Apple Valley was doing.
That was Long Beach Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, it turned out to be quite a success. I wouldn't have given you a dime for it myself. I didn't care myself about it. My daughter and husband built home out there when he was waiting for the cement mill out of Oro Grande. All that wind and that sand when it blew. Otherwise, at times, it's quite pleasant out there, but it was successful beyond my prediction. I didn't have that much foresight. It did very well. They eventually were bought out and merged in, or merged in with the Reserve Oil and Gas Company some years ago. And so Newt became a member of the board of directors. And they also, Llewellyn Bixby merged his harbor properties. What was the name of that company? It's Ocean Front is in the harbor there. Had both oil royalties and other values to it. He merged that into Reserve Oil and Gas, became a member of the board. And let's see, who else? That was all. The Reserve Oil and Gas was a company based in San Francisco. And I knew them, let's see. Yeah, when I was at Golden Eagle in Altamar, we made an attempt ourselves at buying them out years ago when I first went with Golden Eagle Altamar. What was that fellow's name? But eventually a group bought the Oil and Gas and merged all these other features into it. Became quite successful, and then eventually Getty Oil Company purchased it some 3 years ago, together with the Mohawk Refining Company in Bakersfield. It was headed by the McDuffie family. Malcolm McDuffie's father, incidentally, had been the receiver for the Richfield Oil Company when they were in receivership in the, what was it, early 30s, late 29-30. And Bill McDuffie was the receiver in bankruptcy, or carried the receivership. It evolved, of course, successfully. But his son succeeded to his father's position in Mohawk, and they eventually sold out to Reserve Oil and Gas, which is now Getty. And it's been a successful move for Getty, too, because they have that tremendous amount of high viscosity oil in the valley, and the improved Mohawk plant has sophisticated hardware in it so they can handle that heavy oil and get the squeal out of it, get the bug juice out of it.
Bug juice?
Bug juice? Bug juice, yeah.
What's that?
Oh, gasoline. A lot of us used to call it gasoline bug juice.
Why?
Well, just the name gave us gasoline. That was the only one of those old cars, you know, so. Any old kind of bug juice is on it. I guess that's the way they're right.
Okay. Another thing that you talked about were some local people who owned either leases or some kind of promotions. People like Dobbins.
Dobbins owned the land.
Yeah.
They became recipients of income from the royalty, from the property on Cherry Avenue, above on 25th Street. There's 5 acres they owned in there.
Yeah. I didn't think about this before, but as I drove up here, I crossed Brayton Street.
What?
I crossed Brayton Street, like
over here?
Yes, George, the Brayton family.
Were they local people who got into the
oil field? Yes. Well, they originally got into it through owning Wiley's.
Mm-hmm.
And now there was a Brayton theater on Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah.
And I knew George and Jack Brayton. Jack was district attorney, deputy district attorney in Long Beach, you know. Years and years ago, Bill Brayton, Jack Brayton, or George, I think it's Jack. Yeah, I knew more because they eventually got into getting for oil and producing oil themselves on their own, but originally it was Wiley oil. Their cash flow was probably pretty good, and they were probably into real estate, which was other than that construction of the theater down there. Now, the son of Jack Brayton, is still around and active in the oil business. He had some Huntington Beach production, and I think he still produces that and is gradually acquiring more producing properties. He's still around. Jack died, though, some years ago. Bill died preceding him. Bill was a well-regarded deputy district attorney. Well-regarded. Very, very good district attorney.
Another name that you mentioned that goes along with
theaters
is Otis
Hoyt. Yes.
What did he have to do with the oil business?
Well, he drilled a well.
Okay.
On Atlantic Avenue, the only one that I locally knew about, when the boom, the deep sand boom was on, and all between 28 and 30, the big rush. And he drilled a well on Atlantic on the west side, all somewhat south of the hospital. I know it was, when you go south on Atlantic, you go down a dip. And I recall it was on the upper side of that dip going south, almost to the apex up there. That was a little too far south. He didn't get anything there. But he later successfully drilled some wells in San Joaquin Valley. And for all I know, his son might still be living. Wayland Hoyt was his name. And Wayland's about my vintage, or younger, or a little older maybe. About my vintage, I think. He might still be around him. I think the Conservation Committee shares the Hoyt Oil Company are still operating up there somehow. That's what must be, that Wayland and all his successors are still operating successfully up there. I don't know. But this local well was not successful. Too far south, it was off structure. Yes, my youngest brother is coming down from Petaluma to see me this weekend. He and his dad. He was an usher for Otis Hoyt in the Hoyt Theater down the pike. And even John Rankin, as I remember, drilled a well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
He also.
I was too fond of looking for John Rankin. I didn't know what you were to think about his oil well.
How's that?
You said you didn't like working for John Rankin.
Well, I might have destroyed it by the way I expressed it, but it wasn't necessarily Otis Hoyt as such. I didn't like the work.
Yeah, right.
I just didn't like the work, and it wasn't necessarily he as a person. He was a successful Cadillac dealer down on First and Long Beach Boulevard there. I told you a little story about that. But, no, it wasn't he personally.
He wasn't
successful either in his job. He participated in the same area, trying to speak in that thing. It was quite good. He wasn't successful either. He's just too far south. Now, may or may not have anything to do with what I talked about Mackenzie's going south over there towards the southeast, the southwest. Because it could be in that distance cross-track that they don't know about. It would not be relative to being south of the fault towards the northeast. So.
You also talked about the Progressive Oil Company?
Yes.
But that's all I wrote down. I can't remember what else you told me.
Oh. We wouldn't discuss it?
Not on
tape,
no.
That was an effort in the early days of Signal Hill, rather early. And at that time, I think I was just driving a truck, or later on, I might have been conscious of it too, as a salesman around the oil patch. But to my recollection, that was the outgrowth of the Progressive Service Club downtown. And I had known earlier, or later, some of the members of that. Right after the album, I think, of that Progressive Club, which I believe is the present Exchange Club. Mm-hmm. Did you confirm that?
Yeah, I
don't
know.
And that was right. Mm-hmm. One of them was a former minister to whose church I used to attend on Fifth and Atlantic, O.P. Bell. Very fine gentleman. He was in, at least in that club, whether it was a club effort or, because I did name it Progressive Oil Company, or whether it were, there were individuals out of the club who acquired that 25-foot strip that was beginning from Cherry Avenue on through to Walnut, that it was a 25-foot strip. Well, that's a narrow place, but you can get a rig on it. And because it was long, they had places for their other equipment, the boilers and all the other equipment they had to have. And they drilled several wells successfully on that strip. And I don't know today, as I say, whether it was the club as a body or individuals as a group forming a company and just calling it that. That you might be able to find out downtown from the old Exchange Club records or some of the, I don't know.
Well, but they may not exist, but we can look at the summary of operations that the Oil and Gas, Department of Oil and Gas puts out, because they tell the history of the oil well.
That's right. The records should be on Division Oil and Gas way back. That was in the early 20s. In fact, maybe I was finding that out. I have a friend who, Wynn Payne Jr., who who eventually wound up owning the Dobbins lease on 25th and Cherry there. Then from 25th up, and it's 5 acres in there. It's in Sugar Hill, is a big piece of property.
Right.
And he acquired that through an exchange. He owned 3 wells on top of the hill. About the time Shell was formulating in their central unit there. And for some reason or other, Shell wanted those 3 wells that he owned on the near the top of the hill there, to the left of Sugar Hill Drive there.